If you're receiving this transmission, then this operation is a success. Dr. Nick and the hot Aussie chick are in the house and ready to dissect blackjack, poker, and everything in between.
I'm not much of an intro doer. I'm a co-host.
Nah, you're just a host. All right, ready?
Go on.
Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is. You're listening to Dr. Nick.
And the Hot Aussie Chick. I don't like that intro.
Well, it's an intro.
Okay.
Do you have any other ideas that we could use?
An extra. You're leaving today.
Yes. Yes, I am leaving today out of Australia. I've been here for about 2 weeks, and then we did our 2 weeks in Noumea. And looking forward to the 13-hour flight.
You just...
Well, it might be 14-hour flight.
And then layovers?
Yeah, I have a 6-hour layover in L.A. Oh, nothing against L.A., but I hate L.A.
Really? Nothing against L.A., but you... Sorry to everyone listening from the L.A. who just love L.A. That's just one person's opinion. Maybe an opinion right now that doesn't count. Later it might, but not right now. I hate L.A. too.
It's just like when I fly
not
in there.
Not as much as Hawaii.
Oh, yes, we all know about your Hawaii incident.
Yes, Hawaii is not my favorite place on Earth. Anyhow, yes, you're up and away, flying off. We promised that we'd do a show before you left, so that'll be two from Australia, one from Noumea, and then the next from Las Vegas.
Well, I will be in Las Vegas, you will be in Australia.
Yes, we're going to have to Skype-y it, or whatever
yes,
you did.
Yes, do a Skype-y.
Try and explain, you know...
Well, technology is great if you know how to work it.
It is.
Most of the time, it just gives you hassles, though.
Well, yeah. Lucky I'm IT qualified, right?
Yeah. Problem solving is your specialty.
It is, sometimes. Well, so, I've got lots of problems, so I suppose it is a specialty.
Yes, I've never met anyone more drama magnetized
than
you.
So, about your flights, let's forget about my drama. Let's not get you talking. I don't want any more horrid things said about me. Last show, I started with a very drunk hot Aussie chick. I was so under the weather, not just with alcohol. I was tired and, you know, hot, humid. But, you know, we had to fly there and you have to fly away. And... there's lots of other people that are starting their flight at
right,
the moment.
Right, because we're coming up on the World Series of Poker.
Right, and World Series of Poker means hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, no, thousands, actually, of people flocking Las Vegas, obviously, play in the event.
Yeah, and I knew like something like 18,000 people played the Colossus last year.
Right, and all of them have to fly.
Yes, unless they live there.
Right, well, most don't live in Las Vegas, though,
that's
right?
True. That's
so
true.
They still have to fly no matter where they're from. And your flight, same thing. I told you to do what I do, which is look at Skyscanner.
Yep, Skyscanner. I got a decent trip, round trip from Las Vegas to Sydney.
And?
Yeah, it was great. It was Virgin
yeah, but
Australia.
The cost.
Oh, it was just over $1,000.
Right. I see mine are normally around $890 to $2,000
right.
return round trip.
Right.
But that, you know, if I just go and book directly through an airline, any airline, that's going to cost me thousands of dollars, double the price plus more.
Right.
You know, $2,500 round trip, and that's not cool.
Yeah, so saving money is, I'm a big proponent of that.
Yes.
Check out Skyscanner. Because that checks out several different.
Yeah, there's also cheapo flights, but my favorite is Skyscanner. There's a few of them. My favorite is Skyscanner.
Yeah, you know, a lot. You know, the Trans-Pacific flights was actually very comfortable for me. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, well, even in the sheep grate, whatever they call it.
The sheep grate?
I don't know, the area where
coach?
They... coach? Well, coach,
economy
yes.
class?
Yes, Australians call it something else. The sheep, I can't remember.
Well, whatever it was, whatever you call it, it was actually pretty nice. Virgin Australia. It was nice because there was roughly, like, I'd say about maybe two-thirds of the flight was empty. It was...
Yeah, I think we talked
yeah, there was like one person per row, which was great.
Right.
And the meals were pretty decent. You get two meals. You get
alcohol.
Entertainment, movies.
Alcohol.
I don't drink.
But you still get alcohol if you want it.
Yeah, you do. And then like they have like little snacks that you can get wherever you want. Like
I did
the
liver
of the
damage
night.
On one flight. Drinking
you
alcohol.
Had to drink a lot because I've seen you drink.
Well, I did drink a lot. Hello to my UK friends, if you happen to be listening, that you know, kind of passed out males, weak little males. Anyhow, back to the subject, which is cheap flights. Everyone headed over to Las Vegas. There's lots of things that you need to do to prepare.
Right.
Obviously, from packing right through to cost and, you know, accommodations, flights, transport when you get there. We were speaking to Mr. Hope.
Yes.
And he was talking about, you know, staying at the Tuscany, but it costs a lot. You know, he has to walk a long way to get to the Rio and,
right.
you know, to tripping around Las Vegas. I was stuck in the Rio once myself with no way to get around except for Ubers.
What'd you think of? Well, I'm actually surprised that they allowed Uber in, but it's a good, effective way. And don't get fooled, folks, because it's not that much cheaper than a regular cab. And sometimes they can actually be more expensive because the Lyft and Uber rates fluctuate depending on peak hours.
Oh, really?
They do. So just remember that. And, you know, any way that you can look to save money is always good.
It's, right. The more you save as a professional gambler, obviously, the more you make.
Yeah, the more hourly rate. So you got your win rates and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And anything you can do to save money, you got off-strip hotels. Like,
I'm sorry, everyone. I hear the fence blowing down here.
Oh. I don't hear it. I have headphones on.
Right.
But so you have the off-strip hotels, like Anthony said,
Mm-hmm.
The Tuscany, mm-hmm. The Westin,
the El Cortez,
that's his downtown.
Yeah, lots of
a lot of your cheaper rates are downtown.
Uh-huh.
So look into those. But again, the downside there is the long commute time with right. Uber. Now,
the other thing is too, lots of players. There's people are posting up rooms to rent.
Yep.
And also people are sharing like houses. You know, shared house.
Because you can go on Craigslist and you can do short term housing. You can get a house for maybe for the 3 months that or
right,
2 months I think
yeah.
that it's there for maybe $4,000 or something. You split it up between five or six people.
Right.
You know,
and the same applies to motels. I mean, I've bunked with the guys, the poker guys before.
Right.
If you trust them, sleep in the same bed as them, what's the big deal?
Right.
You know, one on the couch, two in the bed, one on the floor in a sleeping bag. Of course, you know, this is like going really budget economy.
Yeah, but be careful because if the hotels catch you,
depending on where it is.
Yeah, some of the
maximum
rooms.
Maximum stay four. You know, right,
yeah.
For children.
Some of the rooms, a lot of the rooms in Las Vegas have a maximum occupancy of four people.
Right.
So,
this applies the same to blackjack teams, by the way. You
yeah.
know, guys wanting to go play for a weekend or, you know, a few days in the week.
Right.
With their mates. Same thing. Think of the flights. Think of the...
cost is a big issue. It cuts into your profitability quite a bit.
Right. Or who wants to go and stay five-star and pay $800 a night? And,
right.
You know, you got to try and return that cost.
Right. And again, saving money, there's coupon books that you can get.
Right, which I wouldn't have survived without.
Right, again, we've mentioned this more than one time. But
yeah, hundreds of times. Like where they're little private advertisers.
Well, Anthony's a good friend of mine, and it's great stuff. The Las Vegas Advisor Membership
well,
coupon
so
book.
Nothing to do with the friendship, though.
Yeah, but it's just a great product.
Even if I hated Anthony, I'd still buy the book. No, really.
And
there's also what?
The American Casino Guide, which has a ton of coupons.
And My Vegas. I've got lots and lots of requests all of the time from poker players who use the application, sending me free chips to use to convert into real gold V coins, dollars, My Vegas dollars.
Right, yeah. Right. And another thing, remember to take some time for yourself, some downtime. Relax at the pool. Go see a show. There's some great shows in Vegas.
And you can get them half price.
Yeah, with the coupon books.
Yeah.
Both of them that we mentioned. So
exactly.
That's always good.
Anyway, money saving, very important. And more little tips.
Let me just recall, the Las Vegas membership book and the American Casino Guidebook, not only do they have coupons, you know, for like free play, but a lot of them have, and you know, spend $10, get $20 in food.
Mm-hmm.
But the Las Vegas membership, Las Vegas Advisor membership book, in particular, has 2-for-1 buffets on pretty much every strip hotel.
Hmm.
So, a $35
sell one.
Yeah, a $30 buffet now becomes $15 with a friend. So
right.
Think of it that way.
Yeah, split the costs. And again, as I was saying before, like this is obviously not all about poker. The show's about, you know, mixing
everything.
The games together. It's about everything. And back to the whole poker thing, the World Series of Poker time, it's a great time for, you blackjack guys to get on in there. You
know, or any advantage player, really, right. to take some cover.
Right. Right. Because, you know, especially if you go, you know, there's like hundreds and hundreds of people wearing poker gear. Thousands. Yes. Let's talk 18,000.
And they're giving it away quite a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going and playing poker or, you know, well, that's what they're thinking, really. You're just, you know, walking past in your downtime and playing some blackjack, yeah?
Right.
Or some craps.
Or some roulette or yeah, anything.
Whatever it may be.
We talked a little bit about roulette last time. So.
Yeah, we did. And we were going to talk about craps this time, right?
We were going to talk about craps this time, but you and I saw some things in the news that kind of shifted our approach a little bit for this week. And
right, which just to cut to the chase.
This relates to the October 1st shooting at Las Vegas and this guy Stephen Paddock.
Which I will not laugh about.
No, don't laugh about it. It's not... oh. not but... There's some stuff that there's some new video that was released by him, and he was supposed to be
not new video. Well, apparently, the first lot of video. Well, not really.
It was old video, but it was just the stuff that they held on to for quite a while.
Right, as we all know, worldwide, globally, every time something happens, a terrorist attack or a shooting like this, you know, any kind of horrible event, think about the Boston, you know, marathon. The first thing they did was release video footage of the people's faces, these horrible men that, you know, did this, and got it out there to the public. This did not happen until now.
Which is terribly ironic, because there is probably no more covered in closed caption TV and video cameras than Las Vegas.
Well, I've come to the realization that they can see the serial number on a $100 bill.
They can.
Yet, they're only just releasing this footage now, and half of it's missing anyway.
I'd say more than half, I'd say.
Given that the man apparently took 7 days to prepare this awful thing that he did, more than half is an understatement. The point is, it's, you know, come on.
It should have been released sooner, and a lot of things have changed multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And some witnesses who were speaking out against that have actually... encountered some misfortunate mishaps and have
that's what you call
died.
It?
Died, yeah.
Misfortune and mishap?
Well,
I don't
again,
know.
We
can't really go on the conspiracy thing because, you know, we're both people that look at things logically and mathematically and, you know, straight down the line. What, you know, black and white, basically.
Well, let's just say, at the very least, it was a very convenient demise of some
kind
of these people.
Gray area.
For the authorities. In any event, some things came out about this guy that were just instantly debunked and related to video poker.
Right.
And
that's what we thought we'd
talk
about.
Yeah, video poker, from what you've seen on TV, you know, everybody's seen the machines.
Right.
It's nothing like regular poker. It's actually you're playing against the machine. You're trying to make hands and combinations and permutations.
Right. I remember putting 20 cents, in Australia, 20 cent pieces in the machine.
In the pokies?
My 18th birthday, I was playing video poker and got locked out of my own party. You know, I was too busy there, putting the coins in, playing. I'm like, they're all going into the nightclub. I'm like, just wait a bit. I want to finish. No. Off they went, and then I was locked out. The point is, it's a game that's been around for a very long time.
Right, and I happen to know a little bit about it because one of the games that I designed is called Two Draw Video Poker.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, well, we had to develop the math behind it. But in any event, it's available at intuicode.com if you want to take a look at it. It's just a game design.
So
but,
you know just a little bit. It sounds like you know more than a little bit if you've been designing games.
I know enough to get them, you know, to evaluate the math models and prove them out and to see what it is. But the point is that everything on video poker is based on pay tables.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the pay tables that you see in Las Vegas are very unfavorable.
Really?
Yes. A quick method is to look at the full house and the flush payouts.
Mm-hmm.
7-4s are terrible, which means you pay 7 coins for a full house and 4 coins for a flush. Those is what you see a lot of. The 8-5s are pretty bad too. Playable at around probably a 98.8% return.
Okay, but before we go any further, so let's say I'm trying to make money, well, you know, even comps, whatever I'm trying to do, as some sort of professional video poker player, like this horrible man was that apparently shot people. If I sit down at a video poker machine that has great payouts, you know, the ones you're not currently talking about, are they going to be like trying to kick me out?
Not so much.
Right.
Well, they that's are. Good stuff. Well, that's a start. Now, the better machines are 9-6. 9 coins it pays for a full house, 6 coins it pays for a flush.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you in the neighborhood of 99.7, 99.8% return.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to remember, that's over the life of the machine.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, if you put in $100, you're not going to get $99 and $99
that's over the whole life
and 96 cents back. It's just not going to happen. But where you make money on that type of game is you play those high percentage paybacks that pay the over 99% return, but you're accumulating points on your mm-hmm. player's card, and with those points you earned, for example, Caesars gives you X amount of dollars for every amount of money you cycle through the machine, so you can get tier points.
Which, so it's win-win.
It can be, but you got to play smart, because video poker, that's the 99.96% return is only when you play optimal strategy.
Right.
And optimal strategy takes a lot of discipline, a lot of study,
mm-hmm.
a lot of understanding to find out what's going on.
And of course, that's making sure you play your hands correctly.
Right, that's optimal strategy.
Right.
Anybody who wants to get a little bit more insight is on video poker and how to play the games. Anything by Bob Dancer, who is the video poker king.
Okay.
He wrote Million Dollar Video Poker.
Does he have a wife that writes or something?
I don't think he has a wife.
Must be someone else.
That writes. I know he's been married a couple times.
Oh.
And his last name really isn't Dancer, but he attends the blackjack ball.
Right.
And he is a fabulous dancer.
Right.
So, which is how he's named Bob Dancer.
Right.
So anything by him is pretty good. He's got his website, bobdancer.com. And he also, if I recall correctly, he puts on these seminars at South Point Casino.
So the seminars are kind of like learning yes. seminars where yeah. he will teach you the
general basics. Right. You got to remember, he gives you, you know, there's homework involved too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to go ahead and you got to read and you got to memorize tables and play actions, and there's simulation software that they can do.
So it's like any game.
Yeah, it takes practice.
Right.
So in any event, how you get an edge on those games is first you have to learn the optimal basic strategy.
Like anything.
Yeah, it has to be perfect. I mean,
mm-hmm.
good close is not good enough. Right. It has to be perfect. So with that, you would play over time. Say you play 40 hours a week, which is not uncommon for blackjack or for video poker players. You play 40 hours a week, and you may...
It kind of sounds like a monotonous kind of job.
It is. It is a monotonous task. It's very repetitive, and sometimes can be very boring.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But the objective is to put in hours playing right. to minimize your losses and maximize your comps.
Right.
Now, with these comps, you would get free food,
mm-hmm.
Free room stay,
mm-hmm.
and... The vital aspect is the entries in the free tournaments. That's okay. where you can really make money on those.
So tell me this, where's the cash?
The cash...
I want to buy a Ferrari, It's not like that, not that kind of game.
Anybody who says you can make a tremendous amount of money in a short period of time definitely is grossly underestimated of what it takes to become an advantage player. Video right, well, poker or otherwise. Subjects. So in any event, so that's how you make your money.
Right.
You can enter in the free tournaments, and some of these tournaments have $10,000-$25,000 prizes or even a free car.
Okay.
So that's where you can get your money.
So basically, if you're going to make a career out of video poker, the first steps would be obviously to study, you know, go to maybe some of Bob's seminars, read a whole ton of books, get your play optimized, and then get on in there and get playing nonstop.
Even
hours and hours.
Then, it's not going to be that easy. I would say it's a good way to supplement your income and get your vacations paid for.
With
your comps, you would get your free food, you get mm-hmm. your free hotel rooms.
Right.
You can play free tournaments. Sometimes you get free chips.
Oh, what? So these
free show tickets, which you can sell.
if you're like playing that much, you're going to be living in a place where they're giving them to you, right? So you're probably not going to want to go on vacation.
But it's a good.
Do
I mean,
you sell them.
You could sell them. It's a good way to supplement your income. I would personally go ahead and I would treat it as a part-time job rather than a full-time job.
40 hours a week, that's a bit tough.
Well, it's, everybody over-glamorizes the aspect of being a professional gambler,
no,
but it is hard.
Doubt.
It's
yes.
I mean, you've been how many times have you spent at the poker tables for playing online hours and hours and hours at end?
Around 40 hours a week.
Yep, it's pretty tough.
Well, actually no, I take that back because probably over half of that was study. Writing, reading,
right?
You know, doing all that kind of watching,
right.
Analyzing my hands,
right.
Doing.
So let's get back to this guy Paddock. Some of the stuff that they said about him is, or he
that
was
he earned $1 million a day. Now that was
no,
lit up
that,
my little eyes. I was like, woo!
That
woo.
Was not correct at all. That was grossly exaggerated.
I did watch an interview, speaking again of Anthony Curtis, where
right.
he spoke to CNN, I think it was.
Yeah, he wasn't earning $1 million. He was wagering $1 million a day. But if you think about it, if he's playing, you know, $25
$250.
Well, it was $25 a coin times 5 coins,
mm-hmm.
which is how much? 125.
Right.
125, and if you can double that,
my brain's not here.
And then you can double that to max the odds. You know, 3 coins, you know, 225. So you're $75 a coin. That's like what 150. So you're looking
let's
at.
Let's not get too technical.
Well, 375. 375 or for max coins, you'd be $375. Or if it's 5 coins.
The point is, could he have spent $1 million?
He would have.
He could have
wagered $1 million.
Right.
A night easily,
which
because,
I can't do.
But if you're playing $25 a coin and it's 5 coins, $125. So it's you know a hundred button pushes a minute.
Mm-hmm.
How many is that? That's like $12,500 a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you could easily run through that in 100 in you know. 2 hours.
That depends who you are. You got to have that money backing you. As I
was
just saying, I can't. But probably most of our listeners can't be doing that.
No. So wagering that is very easy. Winning $1 million is not. There's what they call the handle, which is how much you cycle through a machine or how much you wager,
mm-hmm.
and then there's how much you actually win.
So they could win $998,999, which is the machine return over a lifetime, maybe.
Good luck.
So it's going to be like a loss, but they're going to get some motel rooms.
Yeah, but if you're playing at that level, you're looking at free suites, you're looking at free drinks, you're looking at free food, free show tickets. Basically, your whole vacation is paid for at that level.
Right. With that said, so you go away. Let's say these people going to the World Series of Poker, you know, play video poker at that level for a few days and voila.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's
you're,
one way to pay.
Chances
savings.
Are, chances you got the variance. So I mean, your chances are you're going to lose quite a bit,
right?
At least in the short term, because
okay,
the short term
right.
variance is huge. But as the number of events goes to infinity, as you play more and more hours, that return comes back to you.
Right.
But
it's sounding more like a hobby to me.
Yeah, it could go the other way too. I mean, you could play that. You could win $500,000
mm-hmm.
in a matter of a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But over the next 6 months, you could lose.
Well,
you know,
there wouldn't be another 6 months. If that happened to me, that'd be no more video poker.
You could lose, you know, 5.25, you know. But the math always lines up. It always lines up. But so some assertions that were made by this guy, he was a big, he said he was a self-proclaimed biggest video poker player in the world.
Right.
Not possible.
Yeah.
Not
That's
even
what
close.
I'm thinking.
There were many, many people that play at that level. Winning $1 million.
Have you ever
not
played
likely.
At that level?
The levels that I've played at were pretty high. There was, in my early days with the MIT Blackjack teams, there were times when I was playing. My biggest hand in blackjack was a.
No, I'm talking video poker.
Oh, video poker, no.
Right.
No, not
I was
a video
like,
poker.
What the hell? How do you play MIT teams and play 40 hours a week?
No,
weekend?
No. Well,
right.
with the MIT blackjack teams, there were times where I had two. There was once in particular that I had two hands of $5,000 out.
Right.
At a certain casino. I won't mention which one. But I had 20s, two 20s, 10s, 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 10s
mm-hmm.
against a dealer 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it was was a six deck shoe, and the preponderance of high cards was so high. It was like a, there was like a deck and a quarter left, and it was the last hand of the shoe.
But
and
you didn't play video poker.
No. But the
keep telling your but story. The, I'll let you get away with this one. Go, go, go.
But the preponderance of high cards, tens and aces that remained in the deck, it's like something like 80% of the cards were high cards.
Right.
So I ended up splitting the tens. I ended the splitting the tens, like four times. It was like a $30,000 hand.
The pause is because of the battery, just in case anyone's wondering. He's not trying to make up a story.
Yeah. So the dealer had a six, and she pulled out a nine underneath. It was a six, it was a, so she had a 15, and she pulled a seven for a 22, and yeah, that voila. Was a, that was the biggest voila. Hand. Yeah, it was it was very it was very very nice. I was
No video poker.
No, I was gently asked not to play there anymore after that particular hand.
You were?
Yes, I was.
Well, gently is good.
Yes,
at least
yes.
You weren't beaten up.
Yes. So video poker. Those levels are pretty, pretty consistent.
Right, they're for the serious players.
Yeah, so. Well, I don't know if the serious players, the high-end players.
Right, so and like the multimillionaires that stroll into town, into right. Atlantic City or, you know,
right.
or even the local club here.
Yeah, but the, yeah, exactly, in Australia. So possible, not the biggest, not even close. The videos that they released were quite interesting. He would you showed him, you know, pretty much isolated, not really talking to a lot of people, except, you know, staff occasionally, walking around in flip flops and
tracksuits,
or yes. I call them sweatpants, you call them tracksuit pants,
or tracky dacks.
So yeah, but again, they wanted to know if that the interviewer wanted to know if that was particularly consistent with players, you know, high end players, and believe it or not, folks, it is. A lot of these guys have one objective when they go to the casinos, that's just to play. You know, usually they're very sloppy, and you know, are focused on their machine, and that's pretty much it.
Of course. And why would they care?
Exactly, exactly. And then another one was they showed video. I mean, they actually there was a video of him, you know, leaving the hotel, you know, six, seven times, and then bringing multiple bags, which we later tragically learned that were filled with automatic or semi-automatic weapons. And you know, and he in that case he would be using the service elevator, which is usually elevators only reserved for staff and you know the mage carts and things like that.
Right. So they let him do that.
Yeah. So because you know again, when you're playing at that level, they tend to overlook quite a lot because the casino has only one objective, and that is to get the money.
Oh, I. Casinos overlook when I'm there. They let me drink and work.
Yes, they do.
And smoke, if I want to.
Well, the habit is one addiction leads to another, and they're hoping that you'll be a...
But they don't let me play for tables normally.
No, because you're working, right?
Right.
Right. So, but you can enter tournaments and things like that.
No, not when I'm working.
No, not well, when the...
No.
When the tournament's over, you can still play there, right?
Yeah.
Right, see, okay. So, again, that's the...
Not blackjack, though.
Have you ever played blackjack at the tables?
At a casino where I've been working?
Yes.
Is this a trick question?
It is a trick question.
I'm not answering. Okay. I decline.
Fair enough. So, that's the pretty much the story with the Stephen Paddock issue. Again, a lot of things still remain unanswered.
Yeah, and the video poker, just wow. I mean, okay, so it just... I don't know. Lots of people are going to be asking the same question in their heads as I am. I still can't get my mind around this. We've discussed, you know, what it takes to be a video poker player and how many hours it takes and, you know, how much money you earn. And obviously you can go up and down like any other gambling, you know, and you're going to be making a lot of money out of motel by getting motels comped and, you know,
and,
shows and whatever else. But why do all of this if you're not going to be, seeing the cash all the time? You know, like playing cash poker. It's like an ATM. Ding, yeah, ding, 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 ding. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, you go down.
It's more about the psychological aspect of David beating Goliath.
Right.
Taking a system that was originally designed to beat you and reverse engineering it in such a way that...
Right, okay.
You generate money. Basically, it's a big ego thing is what it comes down to.
Well, that makes more sense. An ego thing with benefits.
Yes, exactly. And, right. You know, in gambling, you know...
That's not to be offensive to anyone. I'm just trying to get my head around
right,
this.
In gambling, any type of gambling, with blackjack tables, or poker tables, baccarat tables, or roulette tables, I mean, you get all sorts of people. You've probably seen this at the poker table. You get athletes, drug dealers, gang members.
Oh, really?
Actors. I mean, there are so many different types of... Yeah. There's so many different types of personalities. And at the tables, you're all equal. The only thing that talks, the only thing that remains constant, the only thing that really needs to do the talking is the amount of chips in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, ego.
Ego.
That's what I'm suggesting.
So we'll talk craps next time, right?
Maybe. We're lining up kind of a special interview, trying to get...
Oh, yes, that's right.
That's
we
a
are.
Surprise. But,
it is. It's
but
a
we
surprise.
Will...
And we didn't actually get to speak to Mel Judah.
No, we did not.
The maker, owner, founder, all of the above, of Cash Out Poker, that mm-hmm. was held for the first time in the Southern Hemisphere. We did mean to get an interview with him, so maybe we can pre-record one. And,
yeah, and just drop it into you know,
yeah.
the thing.
Just do it like... I have an interview here. Keep talking about interviews. I've got lots of interviews saved on my phone, but the point is we could do it like this.
Yeah, we could do that.
It's one of everyone... One of
will
many.
Mel be coming to the World Series this year, or he hasn't decided yet?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, a lot of players will be. I know that.
Right. Well...
Big players.
I, you know, walk around, as I do, and talk to friends in high places, and I'm, you know, and interview people, and I'm just thinking we can do something like this. See, this is, like, pre-recorded, and...
Oh.
Here we have Daniel Negreanu, Kid Poker, after busting a third. Daniel, how do you feel?
Well, your face looks sad, mine's not. Oh. I'm happy. Turn your frown into a smile.
You were very entertaining. What can I say? It's been yeah. great for a few days.
Well, thanks. No, it was fun. I mean, like I said, it was three tough players. We just got involved in a big hand with Igor. Mm-hmm. You know, it turns the other way. I'm in great shape. But I knew that you know, it was going to be a close situation like that with these guys. It wasn't mm-hmm. like going to be a cakewalk.
No, definitely tough competition. And yeah. what's your plans next? What are you?
My plan is to go back to the trailer, make pee-pee. Mm-hmm. After pee-pee, I'm going to
poker.
Yeah, I'm going to go play this 100K, pretty soon.
Awesome. Yeah. So one drop.
Yes.
Third place in one drop or first?
First. I don't first. Do thirds. I mean, I did one, but I'm not going to do another one.
Okay. Enjoy and good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Daniel Negreanu,
Kid Poker, but we can do the same. Mel Judah,
yeah.
Silver Fox, and...
How did he get the name the Silver Fox?
Well, his hair's silver.
Wasn't always silver.
I suppose it wasn't. I have no idea. We can ask him
that's
that.
That's a
good during
question.
During the interview, we can
that's
ask
a good
him
question.
That. I really want to talk deeply to him about Cash Out Poker, how he made the game, you know, his ownership of it. Mm-hmm. And I want to see it all over the place because it has so many benefits, just like we discussed okay. last time.
Right.
Anyway.
So like I said, that's fantastic. And our next show will be from USA/Australia, but I just want to go over some things. This is my first time in Australia.
Oh, it is. Yes, that's right. I forgot.
With the exception of the one brief poker tournament that I was reporting on.
Hmm.
But it was my first time as a tourist.
Right. And?
Interesting.
Okay, so you got off the plane and could you understand the people at our airport?
I could understand the people at our
did
airport.
Did you understand the part where they said, "We don't have your bags"?
Quite well, thank you very much.
Right.
But ironically, they made it to my destination before I did. The
right,
following
they
day,
did, yes.
I did spend the night at a friend's house uh-huh. in Sydney. One thing that I noticed about Australia is, and we talked about this, and I don't know if I didn't believe you or whatever the case might have been, but... the alcohol is so expensive here.
Isn't it? Only the rich can drink, unless they're going to drink goon, which happens to be wine in a box, a cask.
Box wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Cast. No, that's for legs, isn't it?
Do you drink
cast?
Do you drink goon wine?
God, no.
Do your children drink goon wine?
No, but they were going to once protest about the banning of goon.
Why would you want to ban goon wine?
Well, for hundreds of years, Australian teenagers have gone to the river or the beach or whatever else and sat there, and for $8, they've shared around 4 litres of cheap wine and, you know, $8, that is, Aussie slang, bucks, dollars, and had a gay old time.
Happy time.
I'm thinking of the ice cream. You didn't taste it yet.
I did. I did have a particular...
You had a gay time?
There's an ice cream in Australia called Gay Time.
He has had a gay time.
I did eat the ice cream by that particular name, yes.
You had a gay time. Good or end? Was it good?
It was pretty good.
Okay.
And so it's, you know, the food here is so much better than America. I mean, everything's non-GMO. The fast food. Yeah,
everyone is hearing this, right? This is an American saying that another country has something better than their country.
Well, it is actually, the food is amazing. It's kind of strange because in the U.S., a lot of your crappy food, fast food, sugar, candy.
Like McDonald's.
McDonald's, all very, very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And the good food, the organic food, from Whole Foods, or as some people call it, Whole Paycheck, because mm-hmm. it
takes up a whole paycheck
to buy
right.
the food, is very expensive. In Australia, it's just the opposite, really. A lot of your good food and your produce and everything is really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And non-GMO.
Produce.
Produce, which it's just produce. A fancy word for fruits and vegetables, is very good, very cheap. And a lot of your alcohol and tobacco and
fast food,
candy is all very expensive. Very expensive. Even sugary drinks like soda.
Right.
Very expensive.
Yeah, they wanted to charge you $4.60 yesterday for a can of soft drink.
Yes, and I said, no, thank you. I'll pass.
So, that's the biggest thing you've noticed.
Those are the differences. There's a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
I had Chinese food here, and mm-hmm. you'll be happy to realize that. And as it is in America, you are hungry after about an hour after you eat the Chinese food in Australia.
Right.
The KFC pretty much tastes the same.
The gravy doesn't.
The gravy doesn't. Yes. I'm never a big fast food eater in America, so I really didn't have that much to compare it to.
Right. But the McDonald's is completely different.
Yes, the McDonald's is 100% different. Yes.
Now, we don't have sugar in ours, and we have real meat. And most importantly, Coke is different here. You picked it up on the label.
The in the U.S., the Coca-Cola is made with high fructose corn syrup. And in Australia, it's made with the cane sugar.
And we have pre-mixed drinks. Last night, you tasted a UDL.
A UDL. What's that stand for?
I don't know.
But it
stands for vodka and flavored soda.
Yeah, it just tasted like
Sprite. Soft drink.
Yeah, like soft drink. It did. Like a soda or something, like a flavored soda, which was really interesting. But it had a little, it didn't even have a kick to it.
Right.
You couldn't even tell it was alcohol, which probably why the teenagers drink it so much.
Right. Well, these premixed drinks, you'll be happy to know, still healthy, contain antioxidants.
Antioxidants
in alcohol.
You had the mixed drinks in the USA, too, in America.
Well, yeah, I had to look high and low and managed to find Jack Daniels and cola at Lee's. But it tasted different, and I know why now. Because you use corn syrup.
That would...
Not cane sugar.
That would do it. And I did get the chance to see some sights, too.
You did? So you saw the dish rack. Does it look the same as you expected?
I did see by the dish rack, she means the Sydney Opera House.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and we drove over the Harbour Bridge
when you picked me up. Yes, by accident.
Twice.
Whoopsie.
But it was pretty good. It's just like on TV.
And in Melbourne, you were able to compare the Las Vegas High Roller with the Melbourne Star.
Yeah, the Melbourne Star is similar to the Vegas High Roller, which is the big Ferris wheel.
And I thought it was bigger.
But you were?
Wrong.
Of course.
According to your eyes and Google, of course. Google knows everything. So clearly I'm wrong.
And Lygon Street?
Yes, in Melbourne, which is fabulous. Very high. It used to be a very big, it's kind of like Vegas, a big mobster area, Italian mobsters that built businesses. Very, very Italian mafia orientated. You know, we're talking shoot ups and whatever else.
But
now it's all Italian restaurants.
Yes, Italian restaurants. And when we were talking about going there, there's 40 of them in a row.
Right.
Italian restaurants. And the owners are all outside trying to get you into their restaurant.
Right.
And they are, you know, they offer free garlic bread mm-hmm. or free wine. And we went to a place called
Juice Prices.
Yes. We went to a place called La Spaghettia.
Mm-hmm.
Which is strange because La usually is Spanish, but for whatever reason it was La Spaghettia.
It's also Italian.
Is it Italian? Yeah. I wouldn't know. But I don't speak Italian.
Right. Well,
I barely speak English.
You can speak Spanish.
A poquito.
It was fabulous. The food was fabulous.
Yeah, what did you have?
I had lasagna. I always have lasagna.
Right.
Well, until next time I go there.
Yes, I had the fettuccine Alfredo.
Anyway, enough talk about our food. You also saw Crown Casino.
Crown Casino I did go into.
There's no comparison to Las Vegas
Casino. No comparison. Crown Tower, you know, with the big hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. And, or the tower where the hotel was. But,
you know, how did you like our poker room, though?
It was, you know, it's
big.
It's big. I mean, there are bigger ones in Vegas. You know, the Orleans is pretty big. The Venetian is
bigger than.
I think so.
Oh, get out of here. Mm. Let's not forget that there's not only that. There's also other rooms where they play the Aussie Millions.
Oh, that's true. I didn't realize, but the poker room that I had, that I saw, was, you know, moderate size. Yeah, but it was you know, it was nice. There was no smoking, which was really nice.
Yeah, you liked that part.
And it was no
smoking indoors in Australia. No smoking undercover in Australia.
Yeah,
no,
you have to be an open air to smoke in Australia.
Unless that open air is council property or where sporting venues are or children.
Right. But it was, you know, the whole casino was non-smoking.
Yes, of course.
Right. And
don't let that turn you off, smokers. You can still go to the casino and find yourself a comfy little smoker area with nice little lounges and tables and other smokers.
And the public transportation was pretty impressive, too.
In fact,
too.
You can even play slot machines in designated slot machine
really?
Smoking areas. Yes, but I've not gotten to show you an area like that. I don't think you'd want to see it anyway.
No, probably not. But like I said a minute ago, the public transportation was pretty impressive too in Melbourne.
Right, trams, buses,
and it's very
trains.
Very Art Deco. Like the buildings are very
decorative.
Like decorative. That's what I'm going for.
So, what would you choose, Sydney or Melbourne?
I did not see that much of Sydney.
You saw a lot of Sydney.
Really?
Yeah, we were driving around a lot. We went over to Blacktown area. We were at the Rocks. We were at, you know, the harbour side. We were over at Botany side. We were everywhere.
Well, we drove, but
even the western suburbs.
I think just by the experience from walking around, I liked Melbourne a little bit better.
Right. Okay, what about players? Okay, so you've met lots of Melbourne gamers, gamblers, poker players, advantage players, mm-hmm. and you've met Sydney ones.
Both are pretty nice.
And the language.
We should talk about
yes,
the accents.
That's what I'm getting to. The accents, which were easier to understand.
Right. There are apparently we YouTubed it, and mm-hmm. there are three distinct.
We had to do it.
Yes, there are three types of accents in Australia. There's mm-hmm. one, the broad accent.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me an example?
How you going, mate? What are you up to today? Hey, you want to come down and have a tinny with me by the river and we'll get a snag on the barbie later? And okay, cut. Got it. He's
okay.
giving me cut.
Okay, that's the broad accent.
Broad indeed, mate.
And that's what we call the equivalent of...
I call it the Queenslander.
The Queenslander. We call those basically rednecks in America.
Well, no, they're not so
south.
Redneck. Well, they kind of are.
And the second one is the...
They can't help the way they sound.
The second one is the cultivated accent.
No, that's the third one. The second one is the hybrid.
Okay, well, whatever the case, which is a combination of the cultivated and the broad.
Well, the hybrid is a bit of cultivated, but, you know, you're kind of talking like this. You're cutting your words off and you're talking about the bottle-o still. And
it's very rhythmic.
You know, you can still kind of understand it. It's not why I'm blah, 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 blah. It's, you know, much more...
understandable.
Right.
Less hicky.
Yes.
Okay, and then the third one is the cultivated.
Which would be my accent.
More of a proper English, British sounding.
Correct. We took it all the way from Britain, and we brought it to Australia, and added in some Australian slang words. It's the accent used by people that are actors and actresses, and reading the news, and in entertainment, and that are stuck up.
Like Russell Crowe? Not stuck up, but he's an actor.
Well, he speaks like this.
Yes. A very deep voice.
Does Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson is actually an American that moved to Australia.
What? Are you crazy? Mel Gibson has property right near where I came from.
He does have property.
No.
He was not born
in
Australia. I'm telling you, people don't believe me in this.
Oh, get out of here. Mel Gibson, not Australian. He's Australian as they come, other than he doesn't have a broad accent.
Well, considering some
recent... Go and Google it away. Google, come on, get this Google happening. Everyone, Google for us. Google at the same time, because he's probably going to trick me.
Peekskills, New York, United States.
What? Mel Gibson birthplace. Yes, but I have a friend that was born in Vanuatu, and she's Australian. She was here within 3 days of her birth. So let's look at the history of his life, and at the same time, we can compare people like Nicole Kidman or Kate Blanchett. They all have the very cultivated accent.
I'm telling you, it says she was born in New York.
Obviously, they have to have a cultivated accent, because if they've got a broad accent, then no one can understand a bloody word they're saying, can they, mate?
Wow. He's worth $425 million. That's still ridiculous. That's down a little bit, but...
All right. Well, anyway, so that's the different accents, and you were able to understand the ones at the airport, because quite possibly...
Gibson was born in Peekskill, New York. He moved with his parents to Sydney, Australia when he was 12 years old.
Wow. So he is American.
Yes, he is.
So well, he doesn't sound like an American.
Was I right?
No.
Were you wrong?
He's still an Australian. Look, citizenship. Dual American and Australian.
I don't know.
Oh, anyway, yes, you were right. You were right. The point is, he has got a cultivated accent as an Australian citizen.
Right. Now, before we wrap things up a little bit, I want to talk about the place that you took me the other night.
Where was that?
The Haunted Asylum.
Oh, yes. We decided to go to the Beechworth Lunatic Asylum just to do some research for our show.
Right.
You know, because when you're gambling and gaming, you need to make sure that you're not insane. Right? I don't know. We'll call it show research.
You have to be a little insane.
You need to have nerves of steel and be quick thinking and whatever else. And the good Dr. Nick here was indeed that. He was the first person to go and shut a door and walk backwards down a hallway.
Yeah, I was not going to let the ghost get the better of me.
Right. So even though he can't see them, he thought it would be best to walk backwards just in case, you know, there was a possibility he could.
Right.
First person to ever do it.
According to the tour guide.
Uh-huh, in the history of the tours.
Now, I didn't see or experience anything that I saw was... that I thought was terribly out of the norm.
And I got attacked.
Apparently you got your hair pulled.
I had to tuck my hair in. It was getting ridiculous. I thought it was you. It could still be you.
It was that you moved like 10 feet away from me at one point.
And then it got worse. So then I moved closer. My poor sister, she got grabbed. She thinks she has a bruise from it. It grabbed her that hard, whatever it was. Now, you, all the skeptics out there may not believe this. Just like people don't believe in luck. You know, go make your own luck. But... boy, oh boy, there's been some horrible things happen to people out there at the hands of the air. Invisible. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was also movement in the corridor that I saw. I'm thinking it may have been the bat now.
Might have been the bat.
There was a bat following us, attacking people. They were squealing for their life. Oh, it's just the bat. The history of the asylum, though, it is very daunting. We did work out from all of the reasons that you would be locked up in an asylum that I would definitely have been there if we were back in the 1940s and 50s.
Yes.
Some reasons. Wearing red, being a single mother, gambling.
Smoking.
Mm-hmm. There was drinking, alcohol.
Now, one thing interesting that I saw is that two people just had to say you were crazy to get committed.
Right. And then to get out.
Eight people of authority.
Eight authority signatures. Authoritarians had to sign you out. So basically 9,000 people died on the premises.
3,000 in one particular wing.
Yes, which was the wing where they held the inferno, where they held the criminally insane, mostly. The criminally insane males, which was very awful. That was a horrible, horrible... I started to feel sick. I think it's just thinking of being around. I mean, imagine being in that room with all those criminally insane men.
Well, I felt nothing. Saw nothing. Not to say that
you felt my hand grabbing hold of you. Ah, something just pulled my hair.
I did feel a squeeze. And then your sister, that was the second time your sister went there, and she fainted the first time.
She did. She walked into the inferno that we speak of, and she passed out. Mm-hmm. She just couldn't handle the energy.
Just so you know, it's called the infirmatory, not the inferno. Oh.
Okay. Inferno is where you burn people.
Yes, it, well, you know, well,
I say they should burn that place down. Don't go doing that to anyone, because if you do, then after listening to me, I'll be partially blamed for your crime. But anyhow, that was very... And there's also another haunted house you did not get to see.
No.
The most haunted house in the whole of Australia, they think possibly in the world, which would be the House of Monte Cristo. So all you energy or ghost nerds, whichever you may be, go look it up.
Good crazy stuff. Lots of interesting things in Australia. So
kangaroos,
I saw a kangaroo from the distance
and bits and pieces
up close on the roadway.
Yeah. So you've seen no wombats, no koalas, no nothing.
No, anyway. But I did read on the Google
the Google
that sometimes kangaroos can get up to be like 10 feet tall.
Yeah, giant big reds out in the Nulla Nulla. Never, never.
Never, never. Okay.
Point of no return, which is not where we're ever going to be, because we like our gambling. Casinos, country or city? Last question. Country or city? You definitely want to get back to Las Vegas.
I'm right. A city guy altogether. But speaking of Las Vegas, that's I will be in Las Vegas in a day or two.
Mm-hmm. Depending
on traffic or traveling goes, and you will be in Australia, and we will be doing our next show.
Uh-huh. We will. Coming in live from both places. Well, not live.
Live. Now you got you
saying
it.
Yeah, now I'm saying it. Coming in from both places.
Transcontinental.
We'll try not to be so boring.
All right. This is Dr. Nick.
I'm going to get drunk again.
This is Dr. Nick.
I just want you to say that over and over
again. This is Dr. Nick.
And the Hot Aussie Chick.
Signing off. Until next time. Aces and Faces.